to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
I'm going to read a sizable portion of beautiful scripture as we lean in to preparing our hearts for the message that Jace is going to come and share. And so this is the other key gospel account foretelling Jesus' birth that we find in Luke 1. Luke 1:26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Over to verse 46, which is sometimes titled Mary's Song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he who has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers." Over to chapter 2, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, and to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Beautiful. Mary, Christmas Eve, everybody. Well, what a story, what a beautiful account, and what a beautiful reading voice my wife has. Not just a reading voice, but a preaching voice. Last week, exceptional message, and last Sunday at our Christmas carol service, simply world-class, unbelievable worshipping together with you all, glorifying Christ. And Emma's just read some of my favourite verses in the Bible from the book of Luke. And so Luke 2, 10 to 11. And we have this moment as the angel is making an announcement. But when angels rock up, people tend to get freaked out. And so there is this freak out moment by the shepherds as an angel appears. Now, I haven't seen an angel, but I have heard and seen demons. Now, that's not a message for Christmas Eve. Come back next year, we can talk about that. But I have heard angels singing once in a prayer meeting with about 20 people. And there was just a bit of kind of free worship that started. And I heard like this 100-part harmony just erupt in the room where I was just, it was about 20 years ago out in what used to be the youth room out there. And just this spine tingling, this glorious sound that just transcended what we'd normally experience here on earth. And now encounters with the spiritual world like that are not common, not everyday kind of deals, but they're important for different reasons. And here we have a moment where the angel brings this message that has profound significance for all people for all time. Again, from Luke 2, 10 to 11, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, it's all right. Calm down, don't freak out. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Savior, Messiah, Lord. Savior, one who saves. One who saves, rescuer, deliverer. Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. And we see promises through Hebrew scripture of this one who would come from the line of David, who would rule over Israel with justice and righteousness forever. And here the angels are saying, this is being fulfilled in Jesus. He is this Messiah, the long-awaited one. Savior, Messiah, Lord, ruler, the sovereign, the one with authority to whom we pledge our allegiance. Who is Jesus? He is Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Who is this one we sing about at Christmas time and celebrate? He is Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Question for you. What brings you joy? What brings you joy? I can tell you one thing in our house at the moment for Levi, our youngest. It's Rubik's Cubes. And so you may have seen Em put something on socials of Levi solving the Rubik's Cube. And the amount of joy he generates from Rubik's Cubes is quite extraordinary. And one is not enough. Two Rubik's Cubes, 10 Rubik's Cubes are not enough. Because I don't know if you've seen, you can just go on a Google search, not right now, after the service, and see all the different shapes and colours and styles. And it's a whole universe that you can dive into, the Rubik's Cube world. But Levi just gets such joy. And we get joy from watching him solve this this thing, and where your hands are moving faster than what your eyes can see. And then all of a sudden it looks nice. And I don't know if you've tried. Well, actually, who here can solve a Rubik's Cube? Just give us a wave. Who can solve this? I think I'm seeing 2-3 hands. Daryl Hawkey. That's impressive. Can we actually have a test of that now? So only a few of us here can solve it. For the rest of us, it's this impossibility of just looking at this thing. And you can try and you end up, it just keeps getting worse. It's a challenging thing, but it brings some joy. We often hear, so he's got the timer set up where you start with your hands on and take it off. And we'll often hear, I've got a new record, just like from somewhere in the house. I've got a new record. We drive in the car, we just hear it from the back seat. I've got a new record. So another question, what part of the Christmas season brings you joy? Maybe there are some things that don't bring you joy, and maybe today, I don't know if the cooking all day today brings you joy. Babe, it's... Okay, listen to Michael Bublé. And as you heard, I've finished my task. I made the table. So I might just be on the couch watching a few movies, just looking over to Em, asking for a drink every so often. That's really how we roll. Not quite. But what does bring my wife joy in the Christmas season is buying presents and then wrapping them all beautifully. Like, I don't know, you've probably spent 10 hours in the last few days wrapping all the presents. They all have to be perfectly wrapped. And who in your family sets a Christmas budget and then someone in your family just forgets that there actually was a Christmas budget? I have one of those. Because it's just, another present. That looks so good. For me, one of the things I love, brings me joy in this Christmas season, is leftovers. Leftovers. When there is like 3, 4, or 5 types of meat left over in the fridge, it just brings me joy. Knowing I can just go at any moment and there is quality meat just ready to be eaten. It's there. And not just that, but then Emma also makes this potato salad that I'm not a big salad fan, but this potato salad, it's got so much bacon, it feels like it's a man salad. It is. You've got to get the ratios right. And it works. It brings me joy. Actually, Mum makes these little apricot balls that are just, I hope they're on the menu for tomorrow. Maybe if not, I think the shops are still open. Grab some apricots, and just these simple little apricot balls are just absolutely exquisite. And so they last an airtight container in the fridge, so they got to stay fresh. And these things bring me joy. And actually, like if we're going to be kind of true about definitions, these things don't actually bring me biblical joy. That biblical joy is a whole different ball game that we're going to look at here. Really, these things bring happiness, and happiness is okay. It's good to have some happy moments in and around Christmas time. And there are some challenging moments for many of us as well. But taking the happy moments is a good thing. Enjoying leftovers is an abundantly great thing. I actually think I can hear angels in full chorus as well, just when I open the fridge and see the meat in there. So Em actually spoke a message in our witness series in November that dived into this whole theme of joy. And so with permission, I quote my wife today. And so I've actually found a beautiful preaching hack, which is just use other people's material. And after you hear what I read from Em, you'll be saying, Jace, can you do that more often? Please, I think it's better than your own. So now let me, and this is a sizable quote from Em, and it also quotes a few other people. So we're just going on a little wormhole of quotes right now. So just relax and dive on in. So biblical scholars would describe joy as an inner contentment founded on trust. An attitude of the heart determined by confidence in God. And this contentment grows like fruit. evidence of the work of the Spirit in us, as we see with the fruit of the Spirit. So joy is not a fleeting feeling of happiness that is bubbly and frothy and, again, fleeting. Happiness is a boost, a sense of good. But frankly, we in our Western civilized world are happy obsessed. Happiness is crack cocaine for the upwardly mobile, psychologist Brock Bastian said. Society craves the feeling of happiness and searches for it in events and moods and knowledge and people and success. And so we can get stuck living our lives in a perpetual state of seeking happiness or going, I'll be happy when, dot, dot, dot. I'll feel good when, dot, dot, dot. And this asserts that happiness is a construct, a hackable achievement if we do have or are the right things. And such an obsession is actually doing insurmountable damage. Somewhere along the way, we've actually come to equate health and happiness. That is, mental health and emotional health is about feeling happy all the time. If I feel good all the time, I'm in fact dominating life. But yet the exact opposite is actually true. Clinical psychologist Dr. Lisa Damore says the cultural discourse around what constitutes mental health has veered extremely far from what we know to be true as psychologists. Either directly or implicitly, mental health has become equated with feeling good, feeling happiness. And actually, that has nothing to do with mental health. We need to course correct and realize mental health is, number one, having feelings that fit the situation. Having feelings that fit the situation, even if they're not pleasant feelings. And number two, managing those feelings effectively, coping. So it's not about getting to a place of feeling good and staying there. It's more about managing the vicissitudes or the ups and downs of life. So joy that is deep, robust, intellectual, biblical, it requires work but is beautiful and rich because it's founded on Jesus, not on self. Because it's not dependent on mood or circumstance or other, but it is dependent on the unconditional, unchanging nature and love of God. End wifey quote. Joy, an inner contentment founded on trust in Jesus. And this is what Christmas calls us into. This is what Christmas calls us into. And yes, it's okay, as I mentioned, to have moments of happiness in the Christmas season. This is good, but we were created for something far deeper and far less me-focused than just that. And as we allow the good news of who Jesus is, of all he has done to truly invade our lives, and as we allow the true sense of what it is for him to be Savior, Messiah, and Lord to go ever deeper in our lives, then this good news becomes our good news alive in us. And the joy that he came to bring begins growing inside of us, and then is something that we get to share with the world around us. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Joy, real joy, is found in Jesus, the one who knows us and wove us together. The one who understands the deepest intricacies of who we are. And there is a joy we can find in him that grows deeper in this life and sustains us and anchors us and positions us for eternity. And as we embrace the real Jesus, Savior, Messiah, and Lord, then we open our hearts to start or continue this glorious journey with him. Joy is not found by chasing it. We will find something far more shallow. Joy is found by embracing who Jesus is, Savior, Messiah, Lord. And there is nothing greater that I could want for each and every one of us here today than to know and receive who Jesus really is. And as this is my last message for this year, there is nothing greater that I can leave with you than a reminder of who our Jesus is. Rach, if you can come and join us, thank you. And so from Scripture, I want to read and declare over us who our Jesus is. And so if you're comfortable, you can close your eyes, you can look to Him. You can whatever just feels like a posture where you can be reminded or maybe even see for the first time who Jesus is, the King of the universe who came clothed in flesh to become one of us, to save us from ourselves. Our Jesus is the Word who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Our Jesus is the great I am, our firm foundation, the rock on which our lives can be built. Our Jesus is our living hope, the one through whom we see grace and truth. Our Jesus is the one who called us into God's family and chose us before the creation of the world in accordance with His pleasure and will. Our Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our Jesus is the one who holds all authority. Our Jesus is the one who triumphed over sin and death on our behalf, the one through whom we may approach God with freedom and confidence, the resurrection and the life, the one who calls us to freedom and who sets us free indeed. Our Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, the one I'm called to be an ambassador for, the life to the full giver, the one who calls us to a wholehearted love for God and for each other. Our Jesus is the way, truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, the one name under heaven and earth by which we can be saved, the one whose love compels me. Our Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our Jesus is our good shepherd. He's the one who came to seek and save the lost, the one who prayed for us to be one, just as He and the Father are one, the one who calls us to run with perseverance with eyes fixed on Him. Our Jesus is the one who came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's our living hope. He's the true light of the world. Our Jesus is the one who said, "I will be with you always." He's the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Our Jesus is Savior, Messiah, Lord. I love you, church. Merry Christmas.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.